Our 3 and 4-year-olds can be dismissed to Beginner's Church at this time. So I don't want to spend any more time talking about those announcements. Tim did a great job at just highlighting the number of them that are available for us. And so please pay attention to what's happening in the life of FBC. Through the announcements, there is an information desk flooded with sign-up sheets. And so if you go there, take a second look if you can't find your sign-up sheet that you're looking for, because it's there, most likely. You just got to look harder. And so please pay attention to those things. Also, the Body Lifeline is in your mailboxes, and that's our monthly newsletter. If you are a visitor to FBC or you're still wondering if you should make FBC your home and you'd like to pick up our newsletter just to kind of learn more what's happening here in the life of the body of Christ, there should be some out in the foyer in one of the racks, and so go ahead and look for that. It was sad to miss being with you last week. I was up at the men's retreat. Pastor Tim was gracious enough to come back and preach for me as I stayed up with the men, and it was a wonderful time. And man, I'm excited, not for those of you who were able to come, and even those of you who were not able to come, I'm excited for what God might do here for the next steps and leading us more towards seeking Him together. And so think about that Saturday morning breakfast in a couple of weeks. That second song that we sang, did you notice how the song was meant to be sung as a way to speak to your own soul? Okay, that's preaching to yourself. We see that in the Scriptures, this example of the Scripture writers preaching to themselves. That's a good thing for us to do. It reminds ourselves, hey soul, wake up. God's done a good thing. You're His child. Rejoice. And I want you to do that this morning in preparation for the Word of God too. Say, soul, we're about to read God's inspired Word. We're about to read words written down in the Scriptures, and they came as if they were of God Himself. Yes, a man wrote the words down, but he was inspired by God, meaning it was as if God Himself was speaking it. And so, friends, that is what we're about to read. And so I just want to give you even just 10, 15 seconds of silence where you say to your soul, soul, wake up, get ready to hear the Word of God, and then I will pray. Let's do that together. Your Word is good. God, You bring forth life when it is proclaimed. And so, God, bring it. Bring life, bring forgiveness, bring joy, bring understanding, bring wisdom. And I pray Your Spirit might come with power and keep changing us, God, more and more into the image of Jesus. Bless us now. In Your name we pray. Amen. You know, when you find something really good, really amazing, you might be, just like me, tempted to keep it for yourself. That's how I'm tempted, what I'm tempted to do. March is a birthday month in the WIF home. Silas's birthday is a couple weeks, then my birthday is 2 weeks later, and my wife sometimes will make me a nice treat to eat, and when she does, I'm very much tempted, in fact, do practice hiding that treat away so that other kids don't find it. Don't feel bad for my kids. They hide their candy from me, and they have good reasons to hide their candy. I sadly still have a lot of Adam in me. I think and work to serve myself. I want to keep blessings in my house and not so excited to send those blessings to my neighbor's house. So when I'm not living by the Spirit of God, I don't try very hard to work and serve other people. And for the last chapter or so in the book of Luke that we've been reading, Jesus has been putting on quite a show. People who are seeing Him are amazed at what they see, and they want more. And the word is spreading. Verse 14 says, and a report about Him went through all the surrounding country. Verse 37 says the same thing. And reports about Him went out into every place in the surrounding region. And you know, and Jesus just isn't putting on some amusing entertainment. I mean, Jesus is actually changing lives. He is healing people of disease. He's delivering people from captivity and oppression. He is giving men and women the words of God, the wisdom of God, that they might grow in their knowledge and understanding of God's way. I mean, imagine, friends. Imagine having cancer Some of you don't have to imagine that. Imagine being disabled in a wheelchair. Some of you haven't had to imagine that. And being healed. Imagine being lost, not knowing what to do, and then being given the wisdom of God and knowing what to do. Friends, it's amazing. And so more and more people keep coming to Jesus. In fact, when the gospel writer Mark, when he writes about the same time frame in his gospel, he tells us that people from the entire region were flooding Galilee to see Jesus. He says people from Jerusalem were coming, and from Judea they were coming. They were coming from the Decapolis, which was on the other side of the Jordan, where the nation started emerging, this international community. And of course, in Galilee, people were coming in droves to see Jesus. They heard about what he was doing, and they thought, we need to go too. And so with all this increased attention, people near to Jesus in Galilee, they begin getting nervous. And they begin thinking, we want Jesus for ourselves. And so look what Jesus says about that in Luke 4. If you have a Bible, grab your Bible, turn to Luke 4. If you do not have a Bible, there's Bibles all throughout our sanctuary. There's Bibles in the Iwana room. Grab a Bible, follow along. Look at Luke 4, just three verses today, 42 through 44. Look what we read in these three verses. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place, and the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Now, I want to touch on a few housekeeping items here just to begin our time before we get into the main point of this short text. First of all, that last verse, verse 44, is rather peculiar. Jesus has been in Galilee this entire chapter. He's roaming the northern hills of this area. He was in Nazareth, that's in Galilee. He went on to Capernaum. That's in Galilee. The very next verse, chapter 5, verse 1, says that he goes to the Lake of Gennesaret, which is another way of saying the Sea of Galilee. That's in Galilee. He's in Galilee. But verse 44 says he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Judea is in the south. I have a picture. Judea is in the south. That's where Jerusalem is. Samaria is in between Galilee and Judea. And since you had to take all that trip by foot, it was a real hike. It was 75 miles from Galilee to Jerusalem as the crow flies. And it was a much longer route when you take the normal path. And so it would take days to get to Jerusalem and Judea from Galilee. Days. And people who go to Jerusalem from Galilee or Judea, they stay a really long time. Sometimes they stay months on end. You know, you don't go such a long distance and just come back the next day. They'd go for a long time, and that's exactly what we see Jesus doing later in his ministry. And so there's this issue. It doesn't seem that Jesus is in Judea. It doesn't seem like he's in Jerusalem. But verse 44 says he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. What does that mean? I'm thinking, friends, the most likely answer to that question is this. That the phrase synagogues of Judea is not a reference actually to its locations, the locations of these synagogues, but instead it is a reference to their origin and their leadership. These are the synagogues of Judea, established by Judeans, established with their money, established with their leadership. You see, Judea and Jerusalem were the centers of Jewish life, culturally, ethnically, religiously. And synagogues constructed in Galilee were probably done by faithful Jewish, Judean religious leaders. They most likely were funded from money from Jerusalem. And with money comes, of course, power and authority. And so with Galilee being a fairly multicultural region, synagogues were places, one of the few places that Jews could gather together and get a taste of Jewish life. To escape the distractions of the international community and reorient their life towards Jewish law and Jewish religion. And so, friends, I would argue that Jesus didn't actually travel to Judea to preach in those synagogues. He does that later. But instead, this is a reference to his preaching in synagogues established and maybe even still run by Judean and Jerusalem influence, but in Galilee. Okay? Now, you might be scratching your head saying, well, why is this important? I don't really care about this. But some of you do care. There's a couple reasons why this is important. First of all, friends, this is history. When you read God's word, you are reading historical information. The Bible does not start by saying once upon a time. And if it's history, it fits. If it's history, it works together. And so it begs the question, why is this comment about Jesus preaching in the synagogues of Judea when he's roaming the hillside of Galilee? It doesn't seem to make sense. Well, it does when we try to put things in perspective. It's history. Here's the second reason why this is important. The Bible has skeptics. The Bible has honest skeptics. Honest skeptics are people who are diligently seeking the truth, and they're asking good, hard questions. And the Bible has dishonest skeptics. Those are people who really don't care about the truth. They're just trying to poke holes in what God's word says. And friends, it is good and right for us to be ready to give a response to people who have these questions, whether they be honest skeptics or not. We need to be ready. Secondly, I want you to notice that Jesus pretty much echoes what he's already said concerning his mission in that little phrase there in verse 43. He's not saying really anything new. He's about preaching. The message he's preaching is the good news of God. He said that already. God's message in this kingdom is his purpose. And Jesus has even felt this divine mandate before. I must preach the good news. It sounds a lot like I was reminded of the time when he was in the temple when he was a 12-year-old boy. I must be in my Father's house. His divine mandate. The growing fame and notoriety of Jesus does not change who he is and what he's about. Let me say that again because that's really important. The growing fame and notoriety of Jesus does not change who he is or what he's about. And that's reassuring to me. And I hope that's reassuring to you. In fact, the fame even has the opposite effect of Jesus, right? Rather than Jesus living it up, rather than Jesus stepping into the spotlight and the limelight, he withdraws. He steps back. He takes an extra step away from the pressure, from the fame. It says that in verse 42, right? He departed and went away into a desolate place when all the people were coming and clamoring to see him. So Jesus is focused, my brothers and sisters. And that's really good news because the same focus and determination will lead Jesus to the cross for sinners like you and for sinners like me. Despising its shame, not fearing the suffering. He does not give in to that and does not give in to the crowd and the pressure now. That's really good news. Jesus is focused. He is on a mission, and nothing is distracting him. Be encouraged, First Baptist, for your life. Now let's look at the main point of this text here. Look at verse 42. Notice in verse 42 what the people wanted to do with Jesus, right? It says, "And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them." Now, why wouldn't they? Jesus is healing people. He's delivering them from demonic oppression and captivity. He's teaching with gracious words. If you live in Gotham, do you want Batman to leave? No. Do you want him to take a tour of the state and only come home every once in a while crime and scandal spike in Gotham? No way. I want him to stay here. I want him to stay in my hometown and keep my street safe. And so they're saying, how do we keep Jesus here? Let's persuade him to cancel the trip to Canaan and to Tiberias, to Bethsaida. Metropolis already has Superman. Let's keep Batman with us. Let's keep him here. So what does Jesus do? Look what it says. Verse 43. Jesus says, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." Now, I'm struck by a couple of words there. Notice, "I must." Jesus says, "I must preach in other towns. I just can't stay here. I'm obligated to go. I'm required to go. It's necessary for me to preach in other places." Another phrase, "I was sent for this purpose." That jumps out to me. This was my purpose. This is my mission. This is what I'm about, to keep reaching out to others, to invite more in. Jesus Christ has come to save the nations, all of them, and he can't stop in one place. So here's probably the big takeaway from this passage for you and for me. Okay? To embrace God's kingdom way means we too are looking to spread God's message far and wide. Or maybe I could say it this way. We are not aligned with Jesus if we fail to pass it on to others. We are not aligned with the kingdom way if we fail to pass it on to ourselves or to others. If we keep it for ourselves, we are at odds with Jesus and odds with his kingdom way. Now, I have a couple of thoughts I want to share with you about that. Here's the first thought that came to my mind as I was thinking about this. Friends, this should make you really, really glad that this is Jesus' purpose and mission. You should be really glad about this, because none of you would be here today worshiping the one true God of the universe. None of us would know the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. None of us would know the forgiveness of sins if Jesus was not compelled to go to other towns. Because this isn't Galilee. We're not in Nazareth or Capernaum. We're not in Jerusalem or Judea. That means the gospel reached us. It came to us. Whether that's because our ancestors were herded, whether they're in Europe or South America or Africa, or whether your grandparents learned it here when they were part of this community, or maybe when you heard it for the first time and the gospel reached your family. It happened because the gospel spread to other towns than Galilee and Nazareth and Cana and Tiberias. Friends, we are Gentiles here. Gentiles is a word that Jewish people use to describe anyone not Jewish. There are Jews, that's us, they would say, and then there are Gentiles, everybody else. We see that in the scriptures. We see that in other cultures too. The Greeks did that. There are the Greeks, that's us, and then there are the barbarians. It's a friendly way of describing everybody else, right? We do that even today. If you watch the Little League World Series, for example, there's America versus the world, right? You need to be careful with the way we speak, right? We say a lot with the way we speak. Us versus them. And friends, we see in the scriptures Jesus saying, I must go and preach to other towns. Friends, this is really good news. This is really good news. The only reason why any of us Gentiles are saved, that's you and me, is because Jesus says, I must go to other towns. Yes, I'm for the lost sheep of Israel, but I'm also for the lost sheep of the nations. And friends, you are recipient of that. If you know Jesus, if you are saved, it's because God has graciously summoned you to his throne, where he adopted you and called you into his family by the work of Jesus Christ. And that means you've been blessed by Jesus' mission to other towns. And friends, I just want to tell you, that was not plan B. That was not a plan B. That was God's intention from the beginning. We Gentiles aren't included because the Israelites screwed up God's original plan and now he's just doing what the best. That's not how it worked. Before there even was a nation of Israel, he said to Abraham, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. That's my plan, to save the nations, everyone. And so Jesus said, I must preach to other towns. And you and I were in those other towns. And friends, that is really good news. That should cause our hearts to soar with joy. Thank you, God, for finding me. That's the first thing that I think of when I read this. Here's my second thought. Friends, you are only aligned with Jesus and his message if you too are working for other people in other towns and nations. You are not aligned with Jesus if you are not working, desiring to see the message spread to other towns and nations. Or to put it negatively, if you are now sitting back in your spiritual lazy boys, just basking in the glory that God's grace found you, but you're not interested in the grace of God finding anyone else, you are not aligned with the message of Jesus. You are more like those folks in Luke chapter 4, wanting to keep Jesus for themselves. And let me tell you about those people. The vast majority of them left Jesus. The vast majority of them leave Jesus. Eventually, Jesus is going to have some pretty hard sayings. And eventually, Jesus is going to call for some pretty radical sacrifice. And this group, this large group of people, the majority of them, they hear that and they say, well, that's not really what I'm here for. I came to be healed of cancer. I came to be healed of my disabilities. I came to be delivered from my oppression. I came to be rescued from my depression. I didn't come for this. And so I guess it's time for me to go home because now I'm healed. And they leave Jesus and they walk away. And as they walk away from Jesus, they walk away from God. And so friends, we need to be careful that we are not like them because we don't want to walk away from God's grace. Friends, Jesus is for others. If we are His, we too must be for others. This is His kingdom way. And so I want to ask you, are you a citizen of the kingdom? If you are, that means you feel compelled. You are compelled to spread that message to others. We're going to start talking about our Reaching Beyond campaign really soon, starting in mid-March. That's what this campaign is about. I wasn't planning on bringing it up until mid-March, but here it is in Luke chapter 4. That's why we're looking to add more ministry space in the near future. It's not for us. It's not so that we have more legroom. It's not that we have more comfortable seats. It's not because it would be nice to have better lighting or we don't have to sit so close to people and Bible studies or manage the schedule so tightly. It's not for us. That's not why we're doing it. The whole reason why we together, 4 years, have been saying and feeling stirred to sacrifice time and energy and money and resources and preferences, right? Sacrificing preferences has been because we're convinced that we need to reach out and tell more people about Christ. Friends, we are not the only poor, captive, oppressed, blind people in Taylor County area. There are more. There are more people to hear Jesus' gracious words and to experience His loving presence. And so we've been saying for a really long time, a day is coming that our ministry space will be able to support the demands and the opportunity of ministry. Now, I don't want to get into the nitty-gritty of that just yet. There's time. And we'll be doing that really soon. So the question today is this. And ask it for yourself. Will I be as committed to reaching out to others as I am glad that Jesus reached out to me? Think about that. I'm going to say that again. Ask this of yourself. Will I be as committed to reaching out to others as I am glad Jesus reached out to me? What does that mean for you in your neighborhood? What does that mean for you in your workplace, in your family? What does that mean about your prayer list? And who you pray for in the mornings or in the evenings? What is that? How does that change your conversations at school or at work? How does that impact what you spend money on? Are you glad that God's grace found you? Will you be as committed to reaching out to others as you are glad that that happened? Friends, those things go together. The gladder, the happier, the more thankful that I am that Jesus reached out to me should compel you and I to be purposeful in reaching out to others. How can I be glad that Jesus didn't listen to the call and the pressure of some to stay and then stay myself? How can that be? It can't be. That's just not the way it works. There is a direct link, my brothers and sisters, between my joy in God and my sacrifice for others so that they can be joyful in God. So when the church in Antioch was enjoying the blessings of God's favor, they began to feel stirred, it says in the book of Acts. More need to hear. God wants to save more. And so rather than keeping Paul and Barnabas to themselves, they send them out. Rather than keeping them close, Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas, he's the son of encouragement. I'd love to have a guy like that around, right? Paul was known for his godly wisdom and understanding. But rather than keeping them close, they send them out so that they might go into other towns and preach the good news of Jesus there. Let's be like that, First Baptist. Let's be like Jesus. Let's be like the church in Antioch and keep sacrificing much so others might know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's word for us today. Let's pray. And as I pray, would the deacons and deaconesses please come forward as we prepare to gather around the table of the Lord. So God, thank you. Thank you that your kingdom mandate met us, God. We are saved not because there's anything special about us, but because there's something really special and amazing about you. And so God, I pray that you would encourage me, encourage my brothers and sisters with this truth. And God, now as we gather around the table, help us remember you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.